Court is now in session, or certainly could be soon, for an effort to sue state government to force action on climate change. A number of groups joined forces to file suit against the state on behalf of children, since they will be affected most by unchecked global warming. The effort to sue ran into some trouble in the courts, but the Oregon Court of Appeals just made its own ruling, sending a case back to the trial court level. So what happens now? That is a question for Chris Winter, who is one of the many lawyers involved in this situation. He is the founder and co-executive director of the Cragg Law Center based in Portland. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Bring us up to speed, if you would, on the strategy of using the courts with kids as plaintiffs.
Sure. The case is brought under the public trust doctrine. And the basic argument, the public trust doctrine has been part of our common law for hundreds of years, and it basically holds that the sovereign government has an obligation to take care of essential natural resources for current and future generations. And so the case that we brought has been filed on behalf of two very brave young women, Kelsey and Olivia, and they're concerned about their future in a world with a changing climate. And they have essentially gone to the courts and asked the courts to declare that Governor Kitzhaber in the state has been basically falling down on the job and not upholding the public trust to take care of our atmosphere and to prevent the impacts of climate change.
And this is Olivia Chernake and Kelsey Juliana. It's Chernake versus Kitzhaber is the lawsuit, right?
That's right.
And so what are the points of law that are being worked here? What are the ways in which the issue is being addressed?
Yeah, well, the public trust doctrine is, like I said before, has a long history as part of the common law, and so at this point, the case that was resolved by the Court of Appeals last week was on a procedural issue, and really the question at that point was whether the judicial branch of government had a role to play in the climate change debate, and whether the courts could declare whether the executive and the legislative branches were upholding their obligations under the public trust doctrine. And so the decision last week reflected the Oregon Court of Appeals opinion that, in fact, the girls are entitled to their day in court. They're entitled to ask Lane County Circuit Court for a declaration as to what the law is, and that declaration of law will provide them with effective relief.
How strategic were you in choosing the plaintiffs, in choosing Olivia and Kelsey? I mean, were you looking for people who were photogenic or engaging or people who had already taken action on climate change? I mean, how did you go about this process?
So we have just been working with our Children's Trust, who's an ally of ours, and some other groups have just been working with some youth activists here in Oregon who have organized to take action on climate change. And so Kelsey and Olivia were part of that movement. Who are really tackling climate change from the perspective of intergenerational justice and making sure we carry out our obligation to leave the future generation something that we'd be proud of.
So the original case, Chernake versus Kitzhaber, was introduced in Lane County Circuit Court?
That's right, yes.
Why in Lane County and not in Marion County, where the seat of government is?
Well, that's where Olivia and Kelsey live.
All right.
So that was their home form.
All right. So the standing for them was just that they happened to be residents of Lane County.
That's right. Yes. They both live in Eugene.
All right. And so essentially what happened was the trial court said this is not a matter for the courts?
That's right. I mean, essentially the trial court said climate change is such a large issue. It's basically dedicated, committed to the legislative and executive branches, and the courts really don't have a role to play in making sure that the state is moving forward aggressively to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And so that was really the fundamental question at issue last week is, can the courts basically declare what the law is and actually make sure that the executive and legislative branches are taking care of this problem? So is there an effective check from the court system on the issue of climate change? And so that's really a very important question.
And how long ago was the original lawsuit filed, and then how much actual action went on other than, I don't know, hearings and brief filings?
Yeah, the lawsuit was filed in Lane County 2 years ago, and there was a round of legal briefs filed in Lane County Circuit Court, and it was filed against the state, so the State Department of Justice moved to dismiss that case. The Lane County Circuit Court granted that motion, and that's how we ended up in the Court of Appeals.
Okay, and then so how long ago did the Court of Appeals hear this?
The Court of Appeals heard this case, it was several months ago when it was argued. I think it was 3 or 4 months ago. And it was argued down in Eugene at the University of Oregon Law School.
Oh, right. I remember that. Yes.
Right.
The Court of Appeals was doing its roadshow, essentially, at that time.
It was. And it was a great day. There were several hundred youth that piled into a lecture hall at the University of Oregon School of Law. and heard a very compelling argument from the parties. It was very interesting.
Are arguments before the Oregon Court of Appeals similar to arguments before the Supreme Court at either state or federal level? I mean, is it just oral arguments?
It is. It's similar to a certain extent. When you argue in front of a Supreme Court, either the U.S. or the Oregon Supreme Court, usually there's more justices involved, more judges. Here there were three judges. They were all three very engaged in asking questions. And so it's similar to a Supreme Court argument, but there's also differences.
All right. Well, back to the original points of what was going on here. I mean, did you think from the beginning that perhaps the state would try to get the case dismissed in trial court?
We certainly expected the state to try to defend the case. We were hopeful that they would agree to take action on climate change, but we weren't surprised that they defended the case or that they moved to dismiss the case on these grounds. So it wasn't unexpected.
We're talking to Chris Winter, who is the founder and co-executive director of the Cragg Law Center, one of several groups, including Our Children's Trust, involved in filing lawsuits on behalf of young people against the state of Oregon to take action to curb climate change. You can join us on The Exchange with your thoughts and comments, 800-838-3760 around the region. Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So I have to ask, if it's been 2 years ago since the original Chernank versus Kitzhaber case was filed, are Olivia and Kelsey even minors anymore?
Well, Kelsey just graduated from high school. She's just getting ready to start college. She's going out on the road this summer on a climate march, so she's still very engaged in the issue. And she was she and her family were both very encouraged by the decision. She's 18 now. And I believe Olivia is 14, and so they're still both very engaged in the work.
So so nobody does this big huzzah like, yay, this means the state of Oregon has to take action now. In fact, this simply just means that there has to be a trial in Lane County, doesn't it?
Right. So the next steps are a little bit unclear right now. We'll see how the state reacts. But obviously the girls want their day in court. They want to go back to Lane County Circuit Court. They want to have the judge declare whether there's this obligation under the public trust doctrine to address this issue of climate change, to protect their futures and our atmosphere. And they want the chance to make that case to the court. And the state now has a decision as to whether to try to get this opinion reversed, to try to go to the Oregon Supreme Court, and to try to deny these young women their day in court. So that's what we are basically waiting to find out right now, whether the state will attempt to do that.
Well, obviously you and the groups that are filing the lawsuits have some perspective of your own, but I mean, do you think that in the court of public opinion that the state of Oregon might be getting a bit of a black eye if it tries too hard to fight even taking this to court in the first place?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that's a consideration for the state. I will say there's been an outpouring of support for Kelsey and Olivia since the opinion was issued last week, and I think we've really heard from people that it's made them hopeful that the younger generation is taking action, that they felt very concerned about this issue of climate change and want to see people standing up and calling for change. And so I think people are drawn to the story, and I think that's a consideration for the state and how it figures and calculates what it wants to do next.
In the instructions to the trial court, is there anything about the way the appeals court set up what can be argued or how the case may be pushed ahead?
No, I mean, there's not very much guidance in this opinion as to how the trial court should resolve the issues on remand in resolving the merits. And it's obviously very important that we do get to the merits here and talk about the threat that climate change poses to our future and to future generations. But the Court of Appeals made a point, really, of not weighing in on that issue either way. It was really a procedural issue and instructed the Lane County Circuit Court to resolve the merits, but didn't get into saying one way or the other what the court's opinion was of the case beyond that.
All right, so the Court of Appeals was not saying anything about the merits of the argument, the inherent argument here, but just that they hit a foul ball or something.
That's right. The Court of Appeals basically said, look, Kelsey and Olivia have viable claims, legitimate concerns, and the courts are well positioned to resolve the issue, and the courts need to resolve the issue. They can't just punt.
All right, so let's go into the public trust doctrine just a bit further. So are we talking about air as a public trust, the atmosphere in general as a public trust, and what are some other examples of ways in which the public trust doctrine is already used?
Yeah, I mean, the public trust doctrine historically in Oregon has been applied to our shorelands, our coastline, submerged and submersible lands, and public waters and wildlife. And so applying the public trust doctrine to the atmosphere is a new strategy. But at the same time, our case also argues that climate change is fundamentally going to affect all of those other public trust resources that have been recognized more traditionally under the doctrine. And so we're looking at reduced snowpack, reduced water supplies, rising sea levels, harm to our coastlines, drought and fire, and impacts to our public lands. And so it's really impossible to divorce this climate change threat from traditional public trust resources.
Is there an effort within the confines of the original complaint as filed on behalf of Olivia and Kelsey to specify actions you want to see from the state? Or is it more just trying to establish a beachhead and then you can decide what the actions should be later?
Well, you know, we've been working with Dr. James Hansen and some of the most well-respected scientists in the country who have really been looking at this issue of what we need to do to address the climate change threat. And what they have recommended is that we need to get our concentrations of CO2 in the atmosphere down to 350 parts per million by the end of the century. And so that's really what Kelsey and Olivia are asking for, that the state of Oregon develop a climate action plan based on the best available science, which is focused on making the reductions necessary to achieve 350 parts per million. And so that is what the girls have asked the court to order the state to do, is to develop a climate action plan based on those targets.
At 350 parts per million, and I guess we cleared 400 a few times within the last calendar year. Is there some concern that we've gone kind of past that point?
Well, I mean, I think the situation is critical right now, and I know that folks down in southern Oregon and other places are feeling the impacts of drought, reduced water supplies, and that's all playing out right now. So it is situation critical, and every year that we wait makes it more and more difficult to address the issue and make the reductions that we need to. But, you know, I think all of us are still very hopeful and don't believe that it's too late to make meaningful change.
Chris Winter, why state court in the state of Oregon? And is this part of a constellation of similar lawsuits in other states? And is there, for that matter, also action in federal courts against the federal government?
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey and Olivia are tied into a very strong network of youth who are organizing around the country on climate change, really concerned about what this means for their future. And there have been similar cases brought under the public trust doctrine, similar cases and rulemaking petitions in all 50 states at this point. And there is a federal case that was proceeding through the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as well.
And how much luck in other state courts?
There's been a variety of outcomes in other state courts. We've had some courts recognize the atmosphere as a public trust resource. And so some of those cases have been dismissed on similar grounds as to what happened here in Lane County Circuit Court. And so it's still playing out. None of the cases yet have progressed to the point of a judgment against the state under the public trust doctrine, but there's still very many of these cases that are outstanding.
What are some of the precedents that you might be using, previous cases that you think will be good stepping stones to where you're trying to get with the use of the public trust doctrine in Chernig versus Kitzhaber?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's several cases here in Oregon where courts have articulated that the public trust doctrine exists, places obligations on the state government not to alienate public lands, not to interfere with the public's ability to use those lands for recreation and fishing and other types of activities. And so there's precedent from those types of cases here in Oregon, and there's also precedent from situations like Mono Lake down in California and other places around the country. So there's many cases out there that we're drawing on.
And is this the kind of thing that, I mean, how long ago did this effort emerge? I mean, was there, I'm trying to figure out the genesis of all this, the idea of doing the suing in state courts on behalf of young people.
Yeah, well, you know, I really have to give credit to Professor Mary Wood from the University of Oregon School of Law. She's been working on the public trust doctrine for quite some time in her research, and she was really the one who spearheaded the effort to apply the public trust doctrine to this issue of climate change. And really, from the very beginning, she was focused on what this means for the next generation and what responsibility do we have to take meaningful action on this issue to make sure that we're passing on to the next generation a world that will allow them to thrive and be happy. And so it was really Professor Wood who came up with this idea, and encouraged a lot of us here in Oregon to think hard about how we would put that into practice. And then several of us, worked together to bring some folks from around the country together to think about this issue as well.
Chris Winter is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about using the courts to sue state government for action on climate change. In Oregon, the case is Chernak versus Kitzhaber. The Oregon Court of Appeals just said to the Lane County Circuit Court, yes, this is something that should be going to trial. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Rogue Valley number 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Who else then? I mean, we mentioned already our Children's Trust is obviously the Cragg Law Center, which you co-founded. Who else? It's a fairly long list of organizations and law groups involved, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. There's several other organizations involved. Our Children's Trust has obviously been spearheading the effort. We had excellent participation from the Center for Biological Diversity on the Court of Appeals case. The Western Environmental Law Center, based in Eugene, helped out as well with that case. And there's a private firm in Eugene, Hutchinson, Koch, Coons, Orr, and Sherlock. And Liam Sherlock has really been a great help to us as well. And so those are the entities really that are focused on the Oregon component of the work. And then there's a whole long list of organizations who are doing work in other states. And there's really an inspirational movement of folks that we've got a chance to work with who are putting in many, many hours around the country on this issue.
You mentioned Liam Sherlock by name, a name known to people in the Ashland area as the former staff attorney at Headwaters, which is now the GEOS Institute, which raises the question about environmental law generally. This is a... Is it becoming a fairly specialized thing as time goes on, or was it already?
Yeah, environmental law is a very specialized practice, and it has been for quite a while now. And the public trust doctrine is part of the common law, so it's not really the traditional type of environmental law case. We often work in really highly specialized and technical fields related to air quality and water quality and those types of issues. And so public trust law is really kind of more basic than that, and just takes it back to the government's obligation to its people to protect these natural resources. And so, in that sense, it's really different than a lot of other environmental law cases.
In other words, you're not getting stuck with things like numbers of acres of critical habitat and diameter at breast height and some of the other things that can come into law cases. So, given that, then what's the best way to explain to people what your effort is here? I mean, people still will probably look at you somewhat slack jawed and say, "You're trying to do what now?" And so,
yeah.
What tends to be the short paragraph answer to that?
Well, I mean, basically, here's the story: is that the legislature and the executive branch are failing to take meaningful action on climate change. And so everyone keeps saying, go to your legislature, make this a policy issue, rely on the political process. And I think we all feel right now, or a lot of us feel, the political process is broken. It's just not set up to respond to this type of issue because of the influence of money and other organized interests in our political system. And so what we're trying to do is get the courts to step in and to say, this is a real problem, this is a crisis, it's affecting people, it's going to affect future generations, and we need to serve as a check on a broken political system that's basically ineffective at dealing with this issue.
You're probably going to hear, and probably have already, the argument that it's simply too costly for the state to address in this way, and you must have a response prepared for that.
Well, I think that argument is one that's frankly based off of fear and obstructionism. The world's changing, and I think our response to that world has to change as well. And there's just numerous examples throughout recent history where taking action to prevent pollution, to clean up our environment, to think progressively is good for the economy. It's good for future generations. It stimulates innovation and economic growth. And those all hold true here as well. This is going to be an economic driver. The situation is going to have to change, and it's going to change. And when it does, the people who are thinking progressively and forward-thinking are going to be the ones who are helping us innovate, and they're going to be the ones creating jobs and leading the new economy.
Let's take a call from Jim in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Chris Winter. We're talking courts and climate change.
Hey, Jeff and Chris. Thanks very much, Chris, for being on the call today. This is very exciting news. Living here in Southern Oregon, we've been working with the Southern Oregon Climate Action Network and a whole bunch of different things. And one of the things we're working on is an effort across the state to bring to do a fee and dividend for carbon. And I'm wondering Have you had any thought ahead of where you would move if the court says, yes, the state has to do something about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're asking the state to do is to develop a climate action plan and basically come up with a strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 350 parts per million. We would ask the state to develop that plan first and then bring that back to the court and to the plaintiffs so that we could review it and provide input on it and, you know, really weigh in to make sure that it's adequate. A lot of those steps have already been developed by the Oregon Global Warming Commission. Many of them have not been put into place yet. And so the skeletons of this plan are already out there. And so we kind of have a good idea of where we need to go and how we're going to get there. But I think a big part of that, you referred to this in your comments, is going to be having to put a price on carbon emissions on some way, shape, or form. And so that's, I think, going to have to be a piece of the puzzle moving forward.
Jim, thanks for the question. And so, Chris, if you had to go to trial in 6 weeks, 6 months, I mean, would you be ready for either one of those windows?
Well, 6 weeks clearly is not going to happen, and it would be hard to get ready for that in 6 weeks. But 6 months is a possibility, and we will certainly be ready for that.
All right. And, I mean, at this point, if you just had to take a wild guess, would you think that it would actually come to that? Or are we talking maybe another year or two before we see a trial?
I think it'll be another year or two before we have some resolution before the Lane County Circuit Court, maybe a year. I don't know if we'll get to trial. We may have some resolution short of a trial.
All right. Chris Winters, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founder and co-executive director of the Cragg Law Center in Portland, one of several groups involved with Chernaik versus Kitzhaber, an effort to get the state to take action on climate change. Chris, thanks for your time today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Apologies to Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. No time to take your call. This is the end of Hour 1 on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening.